let's get agreement that this is a strategic priority.
That area of alignment and synergy can be very important.
In the future, we're committed to expand value-based care.
Time. There's still progress that needs to be made.
This is Healthcare Strategies.
Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. My name is Hannah Nelson, Assistant Editor for EHRIntelligence.com. Healthcare data is notoriously fragmented and incomplete, posing obstacles for clinicians who rely on accurate data for treatment decisions. However, the Sequoia Project's Data Usability Taking Root initiative is looking to change that. Joining us today is Dr. Holly Miller, Chief Medical Officer at MedAllies, a health IT network that is participating in the Taking Root initiative. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Miller.
Hannah, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Yes, thank you so much. So, kind of getting started, when it comes to data usability, what are the main challenges impacting healthcare organizations today?
The challenges, it's actually a complex question. And I try to break that down into two general buckets. The first is, let's talk about the technical challenges, because that's the one that everyone is quite focused on. And I think the technical challenges include enhancing electronic health record end user interfaces so that the system is actually helping to make the right thing to do the easy thing to do. It's really making the interoperable data available and usable and reconcilable in a very easy fashion. There's also significant data usability areas that are being worked on by the referenced Sequoia Data Usability Workgroup and Taking Root Movement. And we're going to cover those in a little bit. But there's also the ongoing work to enhance lab data interoperability and develop guidance to improve specific patient summaries, like referral and consultation notes, discharge summaries, and others. You can imagine that in various systems and different implementations of a EHR system, the order in which data is coming in or sections are coming in those documents are mixed. So you never know what to expect as you're receiving one of those documents. In addition, there's a continued enhancement of the interoperable discrete data required for electronic health record certification, or what we call CERT. And working on that is the United States Core Data for Interoperability, also known as USCDI, or commonly known as USCDI, which creates a standardized set of health data classes and constituent data elements for nationwide interoperable health information exchange. And as that's a moving target, I'll get into that a little bit more later perhaps, but the certified electronic health records must include those data sets. But as you can imagine, various roles in healthcare require data that is as yet not interoperable or in the USCDI. So those are what I would consider the technical factors as well as others, but the human factors are a very important part as well. And the human factors are, let's start with clinician documentation hygiene, and I'll just call it that, which means that physicians really need to document accurately and appropriately. And I'll give you some examples of records that I've seen that are complex to deal with because they haven't really been managed by the clinician maintaining that record. So, for example, someone might document in the problem list an upper respiratory infection, which is very time limited, or a urinary tract infection. So if you put that in the problem list, and then you're not going to see the patient who's, you know, normally healthy and not coming to see you very often for a year or two, and the patient ends up in an emergency department somewhere, if that document is exchanged, that will still be in the problem list. There's also, along those lines, is entering start and end dates for medications, and particularly very significant for antibiotics. I've heard stories and complaints about times that clinicians will receive a record and there'll be an antibiotic prescribed, no dates associated with it, and there's no infections in the record. So they're scratching their head. Do I continue this antibiotic? Is there a reason for it? Should I discontinue it? So that's another example of a record that has not been appropriately maintained. Additionally, there's a need to, particularly now with COVID, there's a need to update vaccination records, specifically when they're done at an outside location. For example, I've had all of my COVID vaccines at CVS, and I doubt that's currently in my medical record that's maintained by my physician at the Cleveland Clinic. So that's another example. So it's really keeping patient charts updated and accurate and reconciling the interoperable data that's received. And when I talk about reconciling interoperable data, if someone is referred to an outside specialist and that specialist sends back or you query for that document that was maintained or done by the specialist, then it's important to be able to update the chart that you're maintaining and as a PCP that I would be maintaining with the diagnoses and the medications that the specialist had prescribed and pull them into my own chart as if they are part of that patient's record. And when I say part of that patient's record and pulling it to my own chart, again, when you think of this as discrete data, if I prescribe a medication that has a drug interaction with the medication that the specialist prescribed, it's important that's in my record, so I would get that alert.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking down some of those examples, Dr. Miller, and going through the technical barriers as well as the human challenges in terms of data usability. So now kind of looking forward and looking towards the Sequoia Project's Taking Root initiative, could you kind of walk me through the main objectives of this initiative?
Well, let's do a little bit of background for our listeners on the Sequoia Project. It's the independent trusted advocate for nationwide health information exchange. And they really work in the public interest and they steward programs, incubate new initiatives, and educate the community. And not only are they working on data usability, but some of their current interoperability matters work groups that Sequoia has convened healthcare industry experts, both from the public and private sectors. These work groups include information sharing, public health, consumer engagement strategy, privacy and consent, payer-to-payer API, and the data usability work group, which we wanted to talk about. In addition, and I think this is important, that the Sequoia Project was selected by ONC to serve as the recognized coordinating entity for the Trusted Exchange Framework. And I hope we'll have a little opportunity to talk about that later. But interoperability is critical, but there's a lot more to interoperability than just getting information from point A to point B. And what we just talked about confusing records, duplicate information, not knowing what information you can trust, where information came from. Even moving the information makes the data really hard to use and a little bit dangerous. So the Data Usability Workgroup, which is currently comprised of 391 organizations and 486 participants, and it meets bi-monthly. And I should mention, if anyone's interested in joining, that it's open to all, and you can go on their website and join. And it's been focused on ensuring that the data received is both trustworthy and usable. The group tried to identify specific pain points and then develop guidance based on existing standards. And that resulted in drafting in 23 a data usability implementation guide, the first version. And that focused on the following areas, which were data provenance and traceability of changes. So, for example, I mentioned that I might send a patient to a specialist and get back the diagnoses and medications that the specialist started the patient on. So really great data provenance would be if I were then to send the record to someone else and I had refilled a couple of times those medications, that data provenance would indicate, well, this specialist initially prescribed it, and then Dr. Miller re-prescribed it. So it's really showing where that data came from and what happened to the data. How did it change over time? So I think that's something that is exceedingly important. There's also an effective use of code. So making sure that, you know, we talked about discrete data and US CDI, but making sure that the data that's entered is coded correctly so that it's machine readable by the next system. And then this is so important, reducing the impact of duplicate data. Because if you have duplicate data all over a record, it almost makes it unusable because you're not sure what to trust. Which brings us to data integrity and format and trust of the data. There's also data tagging and searchability. And this is something that is particularly intriguing and I think needs much further development. But if we think about data tagging and searchability, ultimately, as a patient, you could indicate, well, I want this data to be able to be exchanged and I want this data not to be able to be exchanged. So there's data that I want to keep private that I never want my primary care physician to share with others. Hopefully not diagnoses and medications, because that would lead to a dangerous situation, but other data that perhaps you want to keep private. Also, it will allow us to fulfill the hope of minimum data necessary, so that if data is going to an organization that only requires certain data, instead of sending the entire record, you really can limit that data to the minimum data necessary for that next endpoint to do their job. And finally, the effective use of narrative for usability. So those are the areas that we're focused on initially. I already mentioned areas that are being focused on currently, like lab exchange and documents, specific document types and how they would be arranged. So we are currently working on a second version of the data usability implementation guide. And then you also asked about the taking root movement. I know this is a long answer.
No, you're good.
The taking root movement is really designed to support the actual implementation of the data usability guidance that was already published by the Sequoia Project. And the data usability guidance leverages, as I mentioned, existing standards to address the pain points from end users on the front lines. And so those would be HL7 standards, IHE standards and others that have already been developed, but then that most commonly electric health record vendors will be implementing this data usability guide and trying to address those things so that their documents would be improved.
That's great. Now, Dr. Miller, in terms of the role of semantic interoperability, you know, how does that kind of play into the Taking Root initiative? Because I know that's kind of part of the whole project.
Exactly, Hannah. And I'm glad you asked that because, as I mentioned, there are areas that are being worked on that I find very exciting where the coding of data elements is not necessarily easy or even hasn't been done. And so this is always going to be an expanding group of data. And we talked about a little bit about U.S. Core Data for Interoperability, commonly known as USCDI, and they're sponsored by ONC. And it's essentially the standard body driving the data that certified electronic health records systems must be able to document and exchange to achieve their certification. USCDI is always a moving target. It's devoted to continually enhancing those coded discrete data elements that must be included in certified systems. And it's a transparent process. The data enhancements suggestions are open to the public to submit proposals. And then when proposals have been submitted, there's a long period of time inviting the public to comment on the proposals. There's many cycles, and with each cycle, an updated version is created. As new versions are created, in order for the electronic health record certifies, they must be included in the more recent versions of the USCDI. And there's a lag. I think certification now is at version 3, and I think the USCDI is on version 5 or 6. So there is a lag in enabling electronic health records to catch up, but it's always an ongoing process. So it's always going to be improving.
Yeah, definitely.
Beyond this, as we've talked about, it's important for data to be machine readable and to be exchangeable, but we also talked about the other factors that must happen to ensure that the received data is usable. And I don't think there's as much focus on those human factors that we covered. in addition to what we did talk about, maintaining the chart, there's also adequate training, ensuring that part of the implementation of an electronic health record and review of how well the EHR is being used is role-based workflows, and always ensuring that you are focusing on role-based workflows. And so the whole team is involved with using the record and maintaining the record and caring for patients.
Dr. Miller, could you just expand on that a bit for me, you know, the role-based workflows and kind of, if you could kind of clarify what that means?
Well, for example, in clinic, generally when my patients come in, the nurse will room them, which means they'll find out what the chief complaint is and document that. They will take their vitals and document that. They'll go over the medications with the patient and verify, are you still taking these medications? The patient might inform the nurse that, no, I stopped taking that because it gave me GI upset. And so the nurse will document that. And then when I come in, I will go into the further history of what's going on, do my physical exam, and complete any orders and add any diagnoses and make sure that's comprehensible by linking the order to the diagnosis so that anyone downstream can see why I ordered something. And that would be a very simple example of the role-based workflow. But in terms of interoperability, it's important to think ahead of time, as this data is going to come into the EHR, who should manage it first? Should that go directly to the physician and to manage everything? Should someone else screen? So I think there's really important work to be done as you consider interoperability, who's going to do what in the system.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Miller. Looking ahead, what is the envisioned long-term impact of this Taking Root initiative?
Well, I think as we move towards thinking about a care team and not an individual caring for a patient, that may include a physical therapist in another location. It may include specialists. It may include nurse practitioners. So it's really a team that is going to be caring for the patient in a integrated delivery network that may all be within the network. But in many small communities, that's going to be social workers in other organizations, so across a community. So when we think about maintaining a care plan in an interoperable environment, it's almost as if you are virtualizing an electronic health record that everyone is sharing. So the quality of care and everyone caring for an individual being aligned in that care and according to the patient's wishes will be so important. And this is why, again, interoperability must involve the patient. We have to make the data always available to the patient or the patient's designated caregiver as well. So the quality of care, I think, will dramatically improve, particularly if we know that the data is accurate, it pertains to the right patient, and we know where it came from, who documented this. I can't tell you how dangerous transcribing information is. So it means, transcribing means you get a paper record and then you redocument it in your chart. I've seen errors of dosage of medications, inaccurate diagnoses because of transcribing errors. So it's really important to have this data, again, machine readable. I think care efficiency will improve dramatically. If you have all the data you need to care for the patient, you might be able to do that in one encounter. And think of a specialty visit rather than two or three, where you have the results that you need instead of sending the patient to get results and then come back another time. So care efficiency and then duplicate testing. I can't emphasize this enough because the most important part of duplicate testing for me is not the cost. It's that the patient would have to potentially get stuck for another blood draw or go through a very uncomfortable test for a second time and be inconvenienced in their life to have to do that. And then obviously secondary to that is how much cost duplicate testing adds to the whole healthcare system. And as you know, the United States is probably the most expensive healthcare system in the world, not necessarily with the best quality and best outcomes consistently. And then finally, another really important part of data usability in interoperability is decreasing physician and generally nurse and all provider burnout, because having to redocument and re-enter and try to understand unusable data or no data, you know, trying to find data is really a great burden on all of us now. And it will decrease that, and it will decrease burnout. And we can't have any more burnout because so many providers have already left healthcare.
Definitely. It's great to hear that so many people have joined the initiative and that it's something that a lot of people are taking seriously and, you know, want to improve. Now, if organizations want to join the initiative, what ways can they get involved?
Well, as I mentioned, it's open to all. And I really would encourage anyone that has struggled with pain points in using data to get involved in not only the data usability work group, but to consider becoming involved in the Taking Root initiative.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Miller.
Hannah, it is always a pleasure talking to you.
And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. If you're interested in learning more about this topic, check out our site dedicated to health IT called EHR Intelligence. If you have thoughts on this topic, or if you have any healthcare-related stories that you'd like us to consider for coverage, you can reach out to me at hnelson@techtarget.com. That's H-N-E-L-S-O-N @techtarget.com. Follow us on Spotify to get more of these conversations, and let us know what you think by rating and reviewing the show. See you next time.
This is a Tech Target production.